getting you ready for the day the only way they can.
Hang on.
Mike Meltzer.
I drank a beer by myself in my house last night.
Original Texan Seth Payne.
Fucking lock me in a room and move on before I say something.
Paul Gallant.
He's a wild animal, unleashed, not restricted by the constraints of society.
Houston's Sports Morning starts now with Mad Radio on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Second down and 10 at the Chiefs 14. Whedon in the gun. Here's the snap. Brandon firing to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Houston. Jordan Akins again. Hello, Jordan Akins. Welcome to the NFL.
Wow.
Mad Radio, good morning on a football Friday after the first preseason game last night. The Texans were able to hang on and win in the first preseason game. So the way we'll do this, let's do a round table. We'll go around the room. Paul, I believe, slept at the radio station last night. We'll give our initial thoughts and then we'll kind of pick a place to go. Here are my quick thoughts from last night's game. I was glad to see Deshaun get some playing time just because I just wanted to see him play football against a different team. We hadn't seen it in a long time, and so seeing number four on the field made my football heart genuinely happy. I'm excited about Jordan Akins because tight end's been a big issue with this team under Bill O'Brien since 2014. They haven't really gotten a lot of production from that spot, and it's one preseason game. There's not a lot you can read into it, but he did what he could. He caught two touchdowns. I like seeing that. And I feel like this Duke Ejiofor guy can play, which was also good to see as well.
Duke Ejiofor is the guy that we've talked about. He's very polished as college pass rushers go, and I wanted to see how it translated into the NFL. He had some really good snaps versus the Chiefs starting offensive line, and that's key, that he looked silky and smooth and explosive versus that offensive line. I'll say this. A spin move in the NFL is kind of like a compliment to a lady. It loses its power if it's overused. He's got to be conscious of, like, you can't be hitting a spin move every other play in the NFL. You're going to get swallowed up.
Works but Madden.
He had some really nice rushes, and including on that Robinson touchdown, he actually had a brilliant pass rush on that play. So I myself was excited about Ejiofor. The offensive line, after the first quarter, I actually felt good about the offensive line. After going back and watching it, I feel good about the offensive tackles. I do not feel good about the interior three. I thought the center and two guards had some really, really bad snaps on some of the bad run plays, especially. There was just way too much penetration. That can get cleaned up. Some of it's just simply the communication and the teamwork between the guard and the center. And it's not like they were getting manhandled or anything. They just had some glitches that I'd like to see get cleaned up. And then the third thing for me, the inside linebackers in general, and I'll go all the way down, you know, I mean, we'll start with, obviously, you already feel good about Benardrick McKinney. I already felt good about Zach Cunningham. I thought Dylan Cole and Brian Peters, for those guys being backups playing in a preseason game, were just all over the place. Sideline to sideline, in the backfield, filling hard versus the run. I really, really felt good about the way the inside linebackers played.
I pretty much echo all of your sentiments on a lot of those things. Jordan Akins coming in there and shaking a guy who is smaller and probably quicker than him multiple times for those touchdown passes is really something else to see. I like that the backup quarterbacks actually weren't awful to look at. Yes, it's a preseason game. They're going up against backups. So, I mean, what do we really take out of it? But Whedon and Joe Webb, it wasn't awful.
Let me ask you this, and I've got a point to make about Brandon Whedon too, but who we've all agreed, look, everybody would love to have somebody that does the things that Deshaun Watson does, but there are very, very few people in the world.
There's that no
can
do one.
But Joe Webb in some of those runs he had versus an admittedly shaky second and third string Kansas City defense, you can see a little bit of that appeal where, like, oh, wow. For a guy, if you were only come in for one or two games before defenses could start to figure out, this guy's legs are so damn scary. And, oh, by the way, he plays special teams.
Yep. And a couple other things. Troy Maine Pope came in and made plays. And if you are Alfred Blue, Tyler Irvin, any of these other running backs, watch out. better start making some plays. Also, shout out to Josh Thornton. Made that big play at the very end of the game with the deflected pass. Had another nice deflected pass a little bit earlier. And while DeVergen sucked as a corner, I thought that he was one of a number of solid players on special teams in last night's game. Maybe he's able to carve out a practice squad spot or back of the roster spot if he's able to continue doing things like this. I don't think it's very likely because he's not very good as a cornerback, but there are some nice things that I saw out of some of the guys that I doubt will make the roster.
DeVergen on the very first Travis Kelce reception. I mean, Kelce pushed the hell off. I almost launched him off into the ether. Other than that, like, I can't blame him too much for that. And then he got dusted on
the touchdown. This is more the one that I was a little concerned about.
Yeah. But the Robinson one.
And right, the pass interference that set him up early. Set them up at the 1 yard line.
The other one I was intrigued by was Andre Chasher, because number 37 for those of you that didn't catch it. So number 37, you'll notice he was on the scene of a lot of receptions. But at the same time, he was out there a lot, and he was out there in the first half. So the coaches see something in him, and he did make some nice plays in the second half. I'm going to watch him more closely now just because obviously the coaches see something in him. I'm finding myself completely and totally without just any care in the world falling. I don't care. I'm not going to be careful about making too many judgments in the preseason. I'm usually the guy who's like, well, hey, it's just the preseason. I don't care anymore. I'm going to look and see if these guys, if you show up on the football field and you make plays, I'm going to be excited about you until you prove that I shouldn't be. So EG4, I'm very excited about EG4.
I am as well.
Yeah, the rap on EG4 coming out of Wake Forest is that he slipped in the NFL draft, not because he's not that good, but because he got hurt at Wake Forest. Like, you would be reading all these different scouting reports, and they'd say things like, well, he's skilled, he's a good pass rusher, he actually knows what he's doing in terms of moves and hands and all that, but he just wasn't able to stay on the field as much the last year or two.
Well, he feels the pass rush, which a lot of even guys that had success in college don't do. A lot of guys in college just have flat-out physical skills, and they either bludgeon people or they run by people, but they don't necessarily feel what they should be doing.
Yeah.
He sets guys up. You know, he hits them with a speed rush a few times, then he comes back inside with a spin move. He had a quick stutter step to the outside and then ducked inside against the backup right tackle. He did it against the starters. He did it against the backups. He's just much more polished, and I think has a better instinct for it than a lot of guys. So he doesn't have prototype speed. He doesn't have prototype size. But he just has, like, he has prototype knack. Can we call that a thing? He has prototype knack for the position.
You know that there's a website called Mock Draftable, which has a chart.
Did they trademark prototype knack?
I don't think so.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, they basically have like a chart and their endpoints, and each endpoint is like a certain attribute a player has. It could be like hand size or 40 time. And so you see like how well the player fills out a chart, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And if they fill out as much of this chart as possible, then they're considered a really good prospect. EG4, when you look at his like chart, his major strength is his arm length. Other than that, everything's like a below average. Hand size, height, weight, all the things you mentioned. But the arm length is the one that kind of stands out.
You know who doesn't have ideal hand size?
Who?
Shaquem Griffin from the Seahawks.
He
had a good game yesterday.
He's missing a hand.
Right.
You see.
So he's got like half the hand size of what you want.
Not even using a hook.
Yeah.
They should
list his hand size, since usually they take your right hand measurement, which I think is unfair. Like, what about PO? Somebody might have like a larger left hand if they're left-handed. But They take your hand size. I feel like they should just cut that in half, to instead of having to write down on the stat sheet or something if you're going to compass how you do it, just cut his hand size in half, 5 inches.
I think that's probably fair, actually.
I don't think that's fair at all.
No?
I think the Americans with Disabilities Act would have something to say about that.
All right, so EG4 played well. Jordan Akins caught two touchdown passes last night as well from Brandon Whedon, which was nice to see. So what do you do with something like that? It's the preseason.
With Whedon?
Not with Whedon, who actually did look pretty good.
Whedon looks good as far as what you want out of a veteran quarterback, which is he knew where to go with the ball. He has the arm strength. But you could also see that versus a real defense with starters in and game planning, that he wasn't accurate enough. So, like, okay, that's a good veteran backup. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'll give him credit for this. You're going behind an offensive line unit that is shaky, to say the least. Not behind the starting offensive line unit as well. And his lack of mobility was not an issue against those backups. I mean, for Tom Savage, it was. It was a massive issue. Mm. Whedon was decent enough at moving around. How much stock do we put into it? Again, you can keep on saying this over and over again today. But I thought that he, behind that offensive line, was not a worthless statue that was going to be plundered and toppled with a rope as if he was some sort of despot and the symbol of everything that that country Tom and its oppression had been.
Tom Savage got taken down like a Cold
Saddam
War,
Hussein,
like
yes.
an Eastern Bloc leader. That's funny. This is what I would say. If you're looking at, if you had last year's offensive line, last year we saw very quickly, okay, wow, Tom Savage is not capable of playing behind that offensive line. If you had to make your backup quarterback decision based completely on if you had to play them behind a bad offensive line, I might have to go with Joe Webb, because I think Joe Webb gives you a better chance. That play in the second half where three offensive linemen got de-pantsed.
Yeah.
Joe Webb kept that play going for like four extra seconds.
He just wouldn't go down.
And he has something that RG3 does not, which is that you're not terrified every time there's contact. Like,
well, he seems like a thicker guy.
He looks thicker and solid, like he more handle it. One of the funniest moments last night was when Joe Webb, who's been in the league for like 10 years now, went off running and he got a first down, but he got hit at the end. And Spencer said, well, you know, the coach is going to want to talk to him about taking that hit. I'm like, all right, he's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, I thought
this
about
isn't
that.
A rookie or anything.
That seemed like a bit of a stretch to me, because, I mean, this guy could make the roster, because not only is he a quarterback, but he also plays special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering about this just with quarterbacks overall, because we haven't seen this team up until now have a different GM since 2006, basically, because Rick Smith was there for such a long time. Joe Webb, like, I look at some of the guys on this team, and I can't prove this to anybody, it's just a feel thing. I feel like some guys are on this team and they wouldn't be here if Rick Smith was here. Sammy Coates is one. Joe Webb is one. That's how it feels to me. I feel like those are not Rick Smith kind of guys. So I'm intrigued by this quarterback situation. I think that they should have kept Whedon last year, and that was a mistake, kind of like IRing Tom Savage.
It was a kind of mistake to let him go, is what you're saying.
Mistake to let him go, yes. Mistake. What did I say?
You just said you thought they should have cut them and you thought it was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. They should have not released him last year, and he would have been a better option than Savage at some points last season. And Joe Webb is interesting, because how often in the NFL do you have a quarterback play special teams? I don't think anybody else in the league has somebody
yeah,
like that.
It's weird seeing a guy that's number five in coverage, because you think that you were watching college football.
Yeah.
You only see guys that are like that typically in the teens. There are no wide receivers in the league that are in the tens, the zero through nine.
You got to be careful about, like, hey, it's a quarterback who plays special teams. Isn't that awesome? Like, yeah, it sounds awesome at first, but you have to step back whenever something bucks conventional wisdom. That's like, hey, it's a coffee maker in your car. Like, oh, that sounds really convenient and awesome until the coffee maker breaks all over your car. So likewise, if my backup quarterback is running down trying to bust heads legally on kickoff, and he gets busted up like a coffee maker in a car, that could be bad things for your football team.
I tell you what here, Seth. You just don't appreciate a football guy here. This guy loves football. He wants to be on coverage. He wants to be on return teams. He wants to play quarterback. He is the kind of guy that you build a team around.
Wait, who's that?
That's a terrible John Gruden.
Oh, Gruden. All right. This looks like a guy that could have played in the 90s, and that's what I'm looking for. So guys that could play in the 90s.
If you're activating Joe Webb for a game, then he's not going to be your backup quarterback most likely. He's going to be special teams guy, maybe a return option. I'm just looking through Joe Webb's numbers. Joe Webb played 16 games last year in Buffalo. He played 14 games the year before in Carolina, and 16 the year before that. So this guy has played in a lot of NFL games the last couple of years.
No,
I think your point, Seth, is definitely correct in general. I just think specifically with this player, he has proven that he can play in NFL games well enough to at least merit a roster spot on game day.
And he's a good argument for, okay, do we keep three quarterbacks? Typically, if you keep three quarterbacks, one of them's a younger guy that you think might develop. It would be really interesting to say, okay, you keep three quarterbacks, one of which is a jackknife that can play, or a Swiss Army knife that can play special teams. But also, if you do have to go to backup quarterback, let's go Astros on this thing and think unconventionally and say, all right, we're with our backup quarterback. You know what? Why don't we start two backup quarterbacks? Why don't we have Brandon Whedon and Joe Webb?
Why
I don't give a damn. You know, like, go in, have different packages for them, and keep defenses off balance, especially when it's a situation if you only have to play your backup quarterbacks for two or three games, you have that element of surprise, particularly if you have a two quarterback attack.
And if you feel like he is genuinely a solid special teams player that helps, let's see how generic Bill O'Brien was discussing Joe Webb after last night's win against Kansas City.
Joe's a guy that's going to try to go out there every day and do anything that we ask him to do. You know, he's been good since he's been here as far as just being a good teammate and really just, you know, being somebody that embraces his role and just trying to get better every day.
All right, scale of 1 to 10 genericness, that would be like at least a 9.
7.5 to a 8, yes.
I think 7. There's almost every cliche didn't in
say
the
he,
book in
did,
that
Did
one.
He say he's a good guy? I didn't hear say the saying he's said, a good guy.
I think he said good team guy.
Did he mention his family? I missed. I was trying to watch a play.
So okay. He might be a bad family
guy. If you didn't come
guy.
From a solid family. One thing we know about the Texans is you better come from a solid family.
Yeah.
If I knew the Texans were looking at me and I was a college senior, I'd be on the phone with my mom and dad and be like, "Hey, listen, when Bill O'Brien comes around, just pretend like you like each other, all right? Just like all huggy, kissy. Talk about how you used to make me get up and deliver papers at 4 a.m.
Would O'Brien and your dad get along? What do you think?
O'Brien and my dad?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, O'Brien's a different guy than people would expect.
Yeah,
I
feel like O'Brien can...
He's not going to go smoke a joint with my dad, but he's... I think he's a more well-rounded kind of... Not creative thinker, but he could have conversations about multiple topics.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
My dad's out there, man.
Yes. I am intrigued by Joe Webb. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here, but again, it's a unique thing to have a backup quarterback or a third string guy who you see running out there on special teams.
I tell you what. I mean, you got to question Deshaun Watson's love of football. He was out of the game early. Brandon Whedon looked better. Joe Webb looked better. Deshaun Watson's playing for his job right now.
And if we were the Braves, if we were the Braves broadcaster, we would say that Watson wearing the towel on his head was a disgrace.
Oh,
in the game
absolutely.
Of football.
I mean, I don't want my quarterback looking like no A-Rab.
He looked like a Gatorade Sikh. It was a really interesting look.
I joked on Twitter last night. I was like, respect the troops. You can't have your quarterback wearing no towel out there.
What did people say? Did anybody take seriously?
People thought it was funny.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good.
I was glad. I was actually a little nervous if people would take that like quite literally.
We've got Paul on fumes this morning.
For the most part, the retweets are enemy on that stuff. For the most part, people are cool with humor until like somebody that doesn't know you gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.